Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Once again, we'll be looking at and reading verses 1 to 13. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. That's our passage for this morning and beyond. So we will see. Beginning in verse 1, the Lord says this to us. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, well, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, as you direct us to, if we know Jesus, He has made us able to come to you as our Father. For this we praise you. And we come even now as you speak to us through your perfect holy word, that you would give us hearts to not just hear it with our ears, but hear it with our hearts and receive it by faith. And to grow in these things that you teach and humble us in our just confessing our need to be taught by you. And we pray, Lord, that you would answer, you know, what this speaks of. Teach us how to pray. Teach me, teach all of us. We're so dependent on you, Lord. We have no wisdom, we have no strength, we have no ability apart from you. So we cast ourselves on you, and I ask you to accomplish all these things for your glory. That you would be known through your people. You would be lifted up, and Christ's glory and majesty would be seen and known by all. Oh, Father, this is the end of all things, is it not? So may your end be our end. May your heart be our heart. And transform us in this way, Father, that you would truly be hallowed. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, if you were here, you'll remember that we find ourselves in the same passage once again. We began here last week, and what did we see? We saw, in the most basic sense, a passage in which Jesus teaches his disciples, then and forever, including us today, how to pray. Presumably, Jesus' disciples, or at least some of them, were with him while he was praying. And they heard him pray. And after he finished, one of them asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, right? Teach us to pray like that. And so the rest of our passage, basically the majority of it is Jesus' answer to that request and his teaching his people how to pray. Now, if you remember, if you were here last year, you remember, we barely got into this. We got to the first part. You know, I said, when you look at this, Jesus is going to teach us how to pray rightly, right? This is what he's asked to do, so he does. And we just got into that first part, you know, by Jesus teaching us the first way to pray rightly is to pray to the right person. And that, as we see here, is when we pray to our Father. And again, remember I said we're going to add Matthew in because he completes it for us, Matthew's passage in the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew adds in, our Father who art in heaven, right? This is who we go to. We don't pray to a far-off, distant, angry God like the pagans do. We pray to, because of Jesus and the work of the power of the Spirit of us being put in Christ, we pray to our Father who loves us and who desires to give us good things, right, as we come. So we need to know that. We need to know who it is we come to when we pray. But there's so much more here that Jesus has to teach us and that we have the privilege of learning together as we go through this passage. So because there's quite a bit, I want to go ahead and get started. And today, you know, so there's going to be four ways we're going to see at least of the way Jesus teaches us to pray rightly. You know, Jesus has to teach us, there's a right way to pray. Obviously, then there might be wrong ways to pray that wouldn't go along with it. So we need to be taught rightly. Well, again, when he teaches us to pray the right person, today we're going to look at how Jesus teaches us to pray rightly by teaching us to pray with the right purpose. Teaching us to pray with the right purpose. And that's the only one we're going to get to today. Okay? Only one. And our text for today will be out of our larger passage. It's going to be the rest of verse 2. The rest of verse 2. You know, as we begin here, having moved, last week we looked at the first part where Jesus again teaches us when we pray, I pray to our Father who is in heaven. And now moving into the second part, what do we see? Well, Jesus teaching us how to pray by teaching us where to begin with our requests. These are the first requests if you actually look at them. They are requests. And Jesus is teaching us here to begin with these. And if you add in Matthew, there are three that I would put in this first category of requests. And those three are what? We're asking God to hallow his name. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Two, that we're asking for him to bring his kingdom come. And then adding in Matthew, for his will to be done, right? All three of these are very connected, are they not? I say they're connected in a couple of ways. One, they're connected because they all feed off one another. And really, you can't have one truly without having all of them. You in sincerity, if one of these is present, all three will be present. I hope you see that as we go through this. So they're all very connected in that way. There's also another connection here, and that's just what their focus is. That's what? These are all God-focused. These are all about what God wants. This is all about what God desires. This is all about God's glory, which is the purpose of all things, right? And Jesus has taught us to begin here. Now, you remember, and it's important, I keep saying begin. You remember last week I even hinted at this. I said, Jesus not only teaches us how to pray rightly, but teaching us this pattern, right? I said, this is not something to just be vainly repeated, this prayer. Even though that's all some do with it. Nothing wrong with praying exactly this prayer, but if all we do is vainly repeat things, we're not learning what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching us a pattern. These elements need to be in our prayer. When we pray, these things need to be there, right? Well, at the same time, I think he's also teaching us a general order of things. And this is what I mean. We need to begin here with our prayers. With what? With God-focused prayers. We need to start with, what does God desire? What does God want? What does God will? And we want God's glory to be seen and known. That's where we are to start. It's so important that we understand that, to be taught that. And we do need to be taught. I do. I still need to be taught. I need to be reminded. Because if we're honest, where did we naturally just want to start? We all just want to start with our list, don't we? God, here I got, this is my will, this is my world, my plan, and fix it, right? Make it the way I want it, right? And we bring all these things and lay them at His feet, and that's where we want to start. And who's that about? It's about us. And Jesus is teaching us, He's actually freeing us from that here. If we humble ourselves and go, okay, teach me how to pray rightly. I shouldn't start there. I shouldn't go there at all, actually, as we see. This is where we need to start. We need to start here with God focused, God glorifying, God's wills, prayers, right? That's where this will free us from that, which is the essence of our fallen nature is self-focus. And if we by faith come under this, will free us from that and direct us and begin us in the right place, right? God, we start here, right? Free us from ourselves. This is so important that we learn this, why He starts here. So again, well, how do we specifically start? Well, He gives us three requests here that we can kind of make elements of our own prayer. We don't have to pray exactly this, but they will have this essence. And the first one is what? Hallowed be Thy name, Lord. We start there. Oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That's my request. What does that mean? Well, hallowed has the meaning of being set apart. Set apart is holy, right? It also has the essence of being lifted up or exalted, right? So when we're praying God's name to be hallowed, we're praying both essences of these. And what we're basically saying is we're acknowledging and asking God, may Your name be acknowledged and recognized as set apart from all other. As completely, totally holy. You are other, right, from all else. And at the same time, You are above and exalted above all else, Lord. So when we pray, Your name be hallowed, You're set apart, may You be set apart and set above everything else in the known in creation, right? You alone are to be the one seen in that way. Father, hallowed be Your name. And so, what then are we actually praying for in that, right? I get the idea, the concept that Your name is hallowed, right? Well, then you can get into the specifics, and many people will go here, and I believe this is true. When you're praying for God's name to be hallowed, you're praying for His name to be spoken only with the most reverence and honor, right? If His name is hallowed, then His name will be what? It'll be spoken of with all reverence and with all honor and with all praise, and instead, the opposite won't happen. His name will, of course, not be blasphemed. Will not be taken vainly either, though. It won't be used casually. It won't be used flippantly, right? That's not hallowing His name. His name's hallowed. It is truly revered. And if we're desiring, and who are we praying? We're praying for that for ourselves and praying that for everybody. Like, Lord, may Your name be hallowed everywhere. And so we want that. And therefore, that's really our heart and our desire when we hear it not hallowed, what does it do? It should grieve us, right? The Spirit is in His grief because we desire Him to be hallowed, and when He's not, mainly because we know He's worthy of only being hallowed, and when He's not, that's so offensive, and it should grieve us, right? So when we're praying that, we're praying for that name to be on the lips of all people in that way. But it's so much more than that. Because that's the outward effect, one of the outward effects. And if we start there, we'll miss the essence of it. It has to be the heart. When we pray for God's name to be hallowed, it always has to start with the heart. And so we're really praying, God, hallow Your name in our heart. It has to start with us, right? God, may Your name be set apart from all else in my heart, and may Your name be set above all else in my heart. And what I'm, you know what we mean by that? Like, there is nothing else that competes with God. God, you're hallowed. You're the one I reverence. You're the one I truly desire. You're the one I truly love. You're the one I truly go after. God, hallow your name. And if it really is hallowed in our heart, guess what? Well, not only will God be name be revered as I speak it, right? But that'll actually affect everything I do. What? Yeah, every decision will be affected by that. If I truly hallow God's name above all else and apart from all else, guess what? Everything I do will be affected by, well, God, what do you want? Because if He is most important, if He is most hallowed, right? If He's the one that I desire above all else, then He's the one that's going to determine everything I do. Because He's all that matters. Nothing else is going to compete with that. It's got to come under that. So that's why it's so important that we start here. And we start here with our own hearts. God, hallowed be your name right here. That'll affect what I say. That'll affect what I do. And you know, that will actually affect the rest of my prayer. What we're being taught here. We have to start here. Because if we don't, and we naturally slide off into self-focus, which I confess that's where we just naturally want to go. Because if we start, oh, what will this do? Well, this will remind, oh, wait a minute. Oh, it's, yes, God, you're the exalted one. You're the one that matters, right? May your name be hallowed in my heart. And then this will redirect all the rest of my prayers. Because then all the rest of my prayers will be directed by, well, what will hallow your name, Lord? Right? And all the other, doesn't mean we won't, those things we want to pray about, don't mean, it doesn't mean we won't pray about them. Some of it, we may cast aside altogether. Like that's not even where, that's not about you at all. But then even those things that we want to pray about, this, so naturally, like our family, all the, oh Lord, what will hallow your name, right, in that vein? That becomes the essence and the focus of all our prayers. They become God-focused and not self-focused when His name is truly hallowed in our hearts. And you know what to say? I don't know. I can't tell you how many times that when I come to the Lord in prayer, and I'm reminded to start here, that this automatically, oh, yes, set my heart and mind rightly. It orders things rightly. And it's like, okay, now I can actually begin to pray the way I know you want me to pray, because, well, hallelujah. Doesn't mean I can't mess it up, that right? Doesn't mean I can't go into it and do like I do other times and just be a task. But when it's right, when I'm really praying, this will set everything in order. And you know, if I'm praying rightly in that way, this will bring me peace too. Just telling you how it works with me. Why? Well, because when I don't have peace, right? When I'm into anxiety, or I'm into worry, or I'm into fear, or I'm into downcastness, or I'm into whatever, right? You know what brings that? Self-focus. I've learned it. And this is what will turn that around and go, oh, wait a minute, God, yeah, that's right. This is the world's not about me. The creation was not created around me and my world and my life happening exactly the way I want it to be, right? This is about you. And you're working all things according to your will and your plan. And guess what? You're high and lifted up. You're in heaven. You're in control and sovereign. You're even sovereign over my life and all that's going on. Oh, and these things that I desperately want you to just take away. You're actually bringing them for my good. And I can breathe again. And oh, that's right. Then peace comes, right? Because I'm in that. If I'm really believing it by faith, I'm giving myself to God and His exaltation and His sovereignty and His over my life, and He's hallowed. That it'll only set my prayers aright, but it'll set my heart aright and bring peace when there's not, right? Because again, it's directing me away from myself, which we all have to die to, and set me back to God. And you know, it's not a once and done thing. This is a daily walk, because the old man's always trying to rise up and get control again, and I got to put it to death. So we pray. We start, God, hallowed be your name in my heart, right? Set everything else under that. And then we don't stop there, do we? Well, let me get back. I'm going too fast. This is what else will happen when I do that. Not only will it bring peace, when I actually pray for God's name to be hallowed in my heart, all of a sudden, I begin to see things that are competing for that. Right? Oh, this is what has my mind and heart right now. That's, Lord, that is vying for the hallowed place in my heart. That is actually vying to, it's what's determining what I do. What? Why is that? Oh, there's some well-being. There's an idol in my heart. That's what those are. I believe there's well-being there, and they become the idols of my heart. And when I really am praying, God, you be hallowed, and that's by faith, I begin to see, oh, these are things that are keeping me from hallowing you as I should. And that gives me opportunity to do what? Praise God, he shows me. Because then I get to give them to him. Lord, put them to death, right? Because I really believe that what matters is your hallow. There's nothing else that should be above you, right? So help me to put these to death by the power of your Spirit, by the word of truth, so that you truly do have the hallowed place and keep it, right? Because should God's name be hallowed above all else in our hearts? Can't we at least agree to that, right? If he should, then anything that competes should be put to death, right? Well, that's what brings him glory in the end. And you got to believe this. That's what's for your best. These other things that are vying for greater place in your heart are lying to you. They are lying to you and telling you that's where your well-being is, and it's a lie. Your well-being is in the Lord and the Lord alone, and him having supremacy in your heart. So you got to believe it's for your good. That's why I say it's a good thing. Lord, show me, so I put it to death. Got to believe it. Now, one little more thing about this. Because the heart, my heart, your heart, everybody's hearts, are deceitful above all else. All these things won't necessarily be obvious to you all the time. Sometimes they'll be obvious as you do, as he shows you. But sometimes you're just going to have to pray. God, show me the things I'm hallowing in my heart above you that I don't see. Right? And he'll show you if it's a sincere, right? If you really want, God, I'm really coming after you. I really want you to be hallowed. He'll show us, right? And when he shows us, it could be a little painful. Oh, why is it painful? Well, it shows us our sinfulness, but it also probably touches us with things that we're tempted to still believe. There's well-being there. I don't want to give that up, but believe it, you do, whatever, in whatever way he says, right? And ask him to help you put them to death. So important that we start here, right? Hallowed be your name in my heart, Lord. That's where we start. And then the hallowedness doesn't stop there, because if we really want God's name to be hallowed, we're going to start praying for that in other people too, right? Because if his name's really hallowed, other people will be holding him above all else and living their life according to that truth. And so the objects of our prayer that we often pray for, our children, right? We all know if you got children, you're out there. We start there a lot of times. Lord, oh, my children, understand this, and I'm understanding this. Our children can often become our idol because their well-being is our well-being. And we perceive their well-being to be exactly the way we want it, right? Instead of putting it in God's hands. So our children, but our spouse, the rest of our family, our neighbors, our loved ones, our church, hopefully each other here in the church. As we pray for one another, if we start here, that'll change our prayers to, Lord, may your name be hallowed in their hearts. Oh, Lord, may you be above all else in their hearts. Why? That's what will bring glory to God. That's what I want. And that's what's best for them. See, we gotta submit and go, God, you know what's best for the people I love more than I do. Because there's certain things we want exactly to go a certain way. And it's, you know, there's some things we can see reasonably. We can pray for those, but we've got to put that under God and go, God, the most important thing is you're hallowed in their heart. And if you are, then that's all that matters. Because then they will live and seek you. And they will be blessed by you, right? So God, hallow your name in their hearts. And then when we see what looks like his name not being hallowed in their hearts, it looks like, ooh, that looks like something else competing. We're going to pray all the more fervently. God, kill that. Kill it. And may you be hallowed above all else, right? Now I'm going to dig a little deeper here. Hold on. After a while, if we truly love them, we truly are hallowing God in our own hearts. We want His will more than anything. After a while, that thing that concerns us isn't going away and not being replaced with God. What are we going to have to do? We're probably going to be led by God, if He's being hallowed and we love Him, to go to Him and just have the beginning of that conversation. I don't know. I don't know your heart. Only God does. But what I see concerns me. Is there something wrong here? Is there something perhaps you're allowing to be out of place here when as far as with God being hallowed in your heart? You know, just you start that conversation, right? Why? Because you want God hallowed above all else. That's your desire. And if God is truly hallowed in your heart, you know what His will is. And I could give you all kinds of scriptures about how we are to go to one another in love when we perceive there could be a problem, right? The rebuke, open rebuke is greater than love concealed in the Proverbs. You go read that proverb. What does that mean? It means you going and trying to correct a brother is so much better than a love that never says anything. Because that's not real love. It's a love concealed. So faithful are the wounds of a brother, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I can give you some. But so we know that, okay, God, that's your will. Then I got to hallow you. Then I will do what you want me to do. And I love them. And I know what's best for them is your name be hallowed and not some idol, right? And again, we don't know, so we just start the conversation. That's what we'll be led to do. And we give all the results to Him. Why do we not do that? Well, the main reason we don't want to do that is because we're the focus again. And we're afraid of what would be the result with us. Oh, that could be uncomfortable. Oh, they could be mad. Oh, that could affect this with me in my life. And that's the wrong focus. Again, God has to be the focus. If He's the focus, then okay, God, I do what you want and I leave the results to you. Because we have no guarantee what the response will be. But, you know, the reality is if that person's in the right place with God, they're not going to get upset. They're going to thank you for, like, you love me enough to come and ask me about that, right? You might get a little upset in the moment because you've touched a heart. And when you touch a heart, hearts are sensitive. And listen, desires of the heart are sensitive. That's what brings anger. You've touched an idol. Ugh, that's my well-being. So they might get, but if the Lord's there, He'll get them the right place, and that's what you want, right? So just a bit about if God's really hallowed, this is just one way it works itself out. We do what God wants us to do. So we pray for others, our loved ones that we always pray for. One further step in that, it just keeps going. We're going to pray for God's name to be hallowed really in everybody. If we really desire for God's name to be hallowed, we're going to pray for God's name to be hallowed in all the earth, are we not? Oh, Lord, may you be glorified. May it cover the world as the waters cover the surface of the earth. May you be glorified. So we're going to pray for the world in general. Isn't that what the world needs, is for God to be hallowed in their hearts? That's what's wrong with the world, you understand. He's not hallowed. And the further they go away from that, the worse things get. And so, for the world's and society's general well-being, pray for God's name to be hallowed in all hearts. And we can pray that a little more specifically by praying for our leaders, right? We're called to pray for them. Pray for the leaders in government, but any realm of society. Because generally speaking, as the leaders, if God's truly hallowed in their heart, things will go better, right? Because they'll be ordered the way they're supposed to be. So pray for all people that God's name would be hallowed, truly, not just in word, outwardly speaking, but in the heart. So that's the motive, right, for what people, why we do what we do. So we, God-focused, God-will, God-desire, God-glorifying prayer starts with, God, may your name be hallowed. Now let's move to the second. Lord, we also pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Now, how do we pray for that? Well, if we bring in Matthew again, he tells us in the way we should pray it. We should pray, Lord, your kingdom come how? On earth as what? As it is in heaven. What do we know about God's kingdom in heaven? God's king, and there's never a doubt about that, right? He's sovereign and he's supreme, and all things are ordered according to exactly the way he wants it to go. He really, truly reigns. So when we're praying, may your kingdom come on earth as it is, and that's what we're praying for. Lord, may you be the king here now, and there be no doubt about that, and you are followed and honored and revered as that king, as you should be. Now, we pray for that, of course, because we know that on earth, God is not honored as that king in that way, right? Why? Well, there's another kingdom here. There's another kingdom on earth, right? And that kingdom is the kingdom of Satan. He's known, and even Scripture tells us, he's the god of this world. And anytime people do his will instead of God's will, they're in his kingdom. This is how Satan rules. He deceives man. Man thinks, for the most part, there are those few who know full well who they're serving. Right? There are Satanists. They really know. But most of man are deceived, and they believe they're serving themselves. But that's what Satan wants. Satan wants, to thine own self be true. That's what he wants, because he knows when man serves himself, they're serving him, right? They're not serving God. And so this is how Satan rules. He deceives the masses into just doing what they want to do. And they believe they're free. They're not. They're a slave to their sin and him. But that's the kingdom that rules here on earth. And so when we're praying, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what we're praying is that kingdom be done away with and your kingdom replace it. You understand? That's what we're praying for. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You're the ruler. Now, how do we pray for that specifically? Well, I believe we can pray for that in three different ways. One way we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is into heaven is we pray for lost people to be saved, right? Because did you know that every time a heart, right, truly looks to Christ by faith and repents and turns from serving themselves and their sin and Satan, actually, right? And the person is brought. I read it in the Colossians chapter 1. Well, what happens when a person is saved? God rescues us from the domain of darkness and transfers us to what? The kingdom of his beloved Son. Did you see the beauty of that? That's what happens when a person is saved. They're taken out of the domain of darkness, out from under the reign of Satan and his kingdom, and they're putting in this new kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And praise God, when that happens, the kingdom of God comes in the heart of that believer. And God's kingdom has just advanced one soul, right? So when you want to advance the kingdom of God, you want to pray, God, come and save the lost. Because every soul is a new subject that's taken out of this kingdom and put into the kingdom of God. And so, like, I agree with John MacArthur. He said, the prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come, is first and foremost a missionary prayer. We're praying for lost souls to be saved. And that, again, is evidence of when we're actually praying for that, and that's the heart and the motive and the purpose. Oh, we're actually subjecting again our wants and our heart and our all we want, and we're putting it under God. No, God, your kingdom coming is what's supreme. That's what motivates my heart. I want to see you glorified by you saving lost people and taking them out from this kingdom of Satan's and put them into your kingdom. So when we pray, your kingdom come, it's going to work it out into specifics by praying for lost people to be saved. Because when they're saved, his kingdom is coming here and now and in the moment. Second way that we're going to pray for God's kingdom to come, right, is when we pray for the sanctification of our own hearts and the hearts of all God's people. Why? Well, you know, the heart being sanctified is, again, back to that, the whole heart being set apart to do only what God wants. That's what sanctified. We're set apart from ourselves. We're set, oh, what does God want? The more the heart is sanctified and set apart to do what God wants, the more His kingdom is reigning in each individual heart. And the more His kingdom is reigning in each individual heart, the more He's seen and the more He's glorified in all the earth. As God's people truly are set apart and they've left the world and they're not pursuing the world and the love of the world, and they're actually pursuing God. God is seen. God is glorified. And that's what we want, right? Because that goes right back to, hallowed be thy name. God, your name is honored and glorified and revered by all. And that happens when God's people are sold out to Him and living in holiness and not pursuing the world and the things of the world. And so we pray, God, sanctify the hearts of your people. Do you know, this is one of the reasons the Apostle Paul would pray. If you look in all of his letters, what does he want for all the believers? He wants them all to know the will of God and then live for the will of God more and more and more, right? This is what will bring glory to God. And if we start there, then that turns our hearts back to the Lord. You'll be glorified, and that does come about with a more. Our hearts are sanctified and set apart for Him. His kingdom comes more and more in our own hearts when our hearts are sanctified. That's the second way. And the third way that God's kingdom comes, and we ought to pray, is we're going to pray literally. God, may your kingdom come now by Jesus coming back now and setting up His kingdom fully and completely now, right? You know Jesus, when He comes back, that's what He's going to do. When Jesus comes back, He's going to crush Satan's kingdom under His foot. He already has, right? But He's still deceived and working here in the world. But when Jesus comes back, He's going to put all enemies under His feet. There will be no rogue people here on earth. No, He will rule with a rod of iron. And Satan's kingdom will be done away with. And God's kingdom will come completely on earth as it is in heaven. That is the desire of the believer. We want God's kingdom to come now completely. We don't want to live in a fallen world any more than we have to. We trust God. He's got us here for the time that He wants us, right? But our heart says this is not our home. Our heart is where God's completely ruling and reigning and sin is completely done away with. And I don't have to live in a sinful, fallen world. I live where there is only God and perfect peace and all these things. And so we pray, if that's really our desire, right? We don't pray, God, come back after I get to do these things. We pray, God, come now. And when we do that, we'll join the prayers of, again, the apostles, won't we? The Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15 or 16, I can't remember exactly, I think it may be 16. He said, oh, Lord, come. He didn't mean, oh, Lord, come later. He meant, oh, Lord, come now. And it's the Apostle John. We know Revelation, right? The end of the whole Bible. God's Word is sealed, right? The faith handed down once and for all. What's the last part? Oh, Lord, come quickly, right? Come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. That's why we pray, come quickly, Lord. Not come later. Not come later so I can serve myself. And my world, my kingdom gets to happen, and my world gets to happen. It's no, Lord, you come now, so your kingdom comes, right? On earth as it is in heaven, because that's our desire. The Apostle Paul warned in Philippians. He said, the false prophets set their minds on earthly things, but not us. Why, our citizenship is in heaven. From which we also eagerly, await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the heart of the believer. Oh, your kingdom come now. That brings us to the last part, beloved. I'll finish quickly. We go to Matthew and the Lord's Prayer. We should know this. We know this if we memorize it at all. We know this part, right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, what? Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It's really just, you can see why Jesus gives them in the same breath. Can't you? They're inseparable. If we're praying for the Lord's kingdom to come, we're praying for the Lord's will to be done, right? Because that's what it means. If the Lord's will is not being done, then his kingdom is not present in that moment. Somebody else's kingdom is present. Whoever's being obeyed, that's whose kingdom is present. So whether that be our kingdom or Satan's, and they're one and the same when we do that, or it's God's. Really, there's only two. There's one, God's way and not God's way. God's kingdom and not God's kingdom. If we want God's kingdom to come, then we want his will to be done. Where do we want his will to be done? Just in this and that? Oh no. On earth as it is in heaven, every single thing. We want that. We desire that. That's what will bring God glory. And that's what's best if we really believe it. That means we got to die. Because self's a powerful thing. We got our own kingdoms and our own lives and our own worlds we want to make. But God, for our good, will kill that and make our hearts desire, Lord, may your will be done above all else. That's the same as when his kingdom come. And lastly, you see how they're all connected? Is God's name being hallowed when his will's not being done? No. Calvin said, God is most dishonored when his will is refused to be done. We know this. Honor is more than obedience, but it's nothing less than obedience. And if we really desire for God's name to be hallowed and it's truly desired in our heart, what we want is we want his will to be done. Where and by who? By ourselves, by the others we love, and by the whole world. Same thing. Same as all of them. Oh, Lord, may your will be done. This is what will glorify your name. This is what will bless your people. So, brothers and sisters, if we're praying rightly, we're going to learn from Jesus, and we're going to want to pray and want to learn to pray with the right purpose, which is with the right motive. And when we come to him, we don't start with us. We actually take ourselves and we put it under him and say, okay, God, what's the right purpose? It's you. What you want. It's what glorifies you. And if we're doing that, if that's real, then we're going to pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that for the purpose of your name being exalted above all else, that, Lord, you would truly cause this word to bear fruit in our hearts, first and foremost, that, Lord, your name would be hallowed in our hearts above all else, and that every day we would start here, and every day we'd believe, Lord, this is what we need, and this is what you're worthy of. And so we would come every day and just place our hearts before you and say, Lord, hallow your name in my heart. Drive out all that competes and make your name and pleasing you supreme and preeminent, because you're worthy. You're worthy. And Father, in light of that, your kingdom will come and your will be done. Oh Lord, bring that now in the salvation of the lost. Bring that in the hearts of your people. And oh Lord, bring it even now in Jesus. Come quickly. May he come even now. Do away with sin and this lost world and fallenness, and may he reign supremely where there is perfect peace and well-being and eternal life. Oh Lord, come quickly, so that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.